So I love science fiction. Eric, you like science fiction too. I love science fiction movies. I love movies about different things that could happen, like time travel, and you know, things that affect different dimensions, and you know, drives Debbie crazy because I watch a time travel movie and I was like, well, that's going to happen because that, and she's like, I don't know what, I've lost the plot a long time ago. But I have a theory, and this is totally unrelated to the sermon today, but I want to share my theory with you, really, because it relates to time travel. And I've shared this, I think, with a number of you, but I believe God is outside of time, right? He is completely outside of time. And so if I'm watching a Chiefs game, but I'm watching it a day afterwards, so the game's over, but I don't know the result. I have never seen the game, but I'm watching it recorded, like I did when I was in South Africa a few months ago. I watched the game 12 hours after everybody else. And I'm praying for the team, right? I'm praying for my team to win. It's not wrong to pray for your team. And if in answer to my prayer, God changes the result of the game, would anybody know? Nobody would know, because God has changed reality that everybody experienced. So, thanks, guys. You can. I was praying for the Chiefs 12 hours later, and it worked, right? But you know, in 2024, especially in this year that we're in, an election year, we are going to be faced with so many things that don't seem to be real because they're not real, right? I was actually just browsing yesterday the subject of artificial intelligence and deep fakes and videos that can be produced in a matter of minutes to say something that's not at all being said by that particular person, and it looks exactly like them, and they're saying exactly the opposite of what they would normally say. And if we thought 2020 election was bad, I believe that 2024 is going to be even worse. We need to have discernment and wisdom, especially on social media. There's going to be so much out there that's not true, that is absolutely made up. So if we cannot believe videos that we can see, things that we can actually see and hear, what do we trust? What is real? Like, how can we trust anything that we see and read and watch? You know, today we're going to talk about something that seems unreal. It seems completely fictitious, completely unreal. Something that's extremely hard for us to get our minds around. Now, every year we gather together for Easter and Resurrection Sunday, and we talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it's amazing. But we don't fully grasp what it means. We don't fully grasp the power of the resurrection and all that it entails. But it's absolutely real. It's not science fiction. It absolutely happened. Whether we accept it or not, it does affect all of eternity. It affects our eternity. It affects everybody in the world's eternity, everybody who has ever lived. What Jesus did on that day 2,000 years ago affects all of us. You know, over the past 10 years, I've had the opportunity to perform many funerals. And funerals are the one time that you've got people's attention, right? It's the one time that they actually stop watching Netflix and put their social media phones down and are actually focused, because this is real. Death is real. And when you speak about death and you're confronted by death, it gets people's attention. Because suddenly, nothing else matters. We're confronted with the fact that we're finite beings and that there is death someday. Death is inescapable. And so on Friday, we remembered, we gathered together and remembered Jesus' death on the cross and how he gave his life for us. We gathered for communion. And the disciples were distraught, they were confused, they were disillusioned, they were heartbroken and scattered. But then they started getting some news. 2 days later, they started getting some news on the third day that he's alive? Really? No, that's fake news, right? No, just dismiss that. That was just someone's social media account, right? No, he's alive. And the news started spreading and they started hearing that Jesus is risen from the dead. And today we celebrate that historical fact. And I said it's a historical fact because it's proven historically that Jesus rose from the dead. And by his resurrection from the dead, we don't have to fear death. Those that have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we do not have to fear death. Jesus overcame death. The Apostle Paul quoted the prophet Hosea in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. He says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" Because Jesus is alive, we who know him can boldly make that statement, "Where, O death, is your sting? It doesn't bother me." Jesus overcame death. And today we're going to read from Luke chapter 24. And Eric didn't know this. In the early service or the sunrise service, he spoke on Luke 24, the passage directly in between the two passages that I want to read today. So we're covering all of Luke 24 today between the sunrise service and this service. But when he put it up on the screen, Luke 24, I thought, oh no. And it was exactly the verses in between the two passages. So I'm going to, first passage is Jesus is no longer in the tomb. And I want Jessica to come and read that for us. But there was shock and there's confusion. And they're trying to put the pieces together. And then the second reading, Adam is going to do for us. And Jesus appearing to them in person and proving that he was alive. So Jessica, you want to read for us the first portion.
But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened.
Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with the power from on high."
Thank you. Oops. Thank you, Jessica and Adam. It's determined to fall down. Jesus is alive. Amen. And we have evidence You know, firstly, we have the Word of God. We have God's Word that more than simply tells us about Jesus' resurrection, but we see the fulfillment of prophecies throughout God's Word, prophecies that were written hundreds or thousands of years apart and were completely fulfilled. There's no way that that could have just happened, as the Holy Spirit declared and led the writers to write down what was to become the prophecy about Jesus. And notice when Jesus revealed himself to the disciples, he referred to the prophecies, he referred to the prophets, the Psalms, and the law of Moses. Verse 44, he says, and he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." You know, everything in the entire Bible speaks about Jesus. You've ever done a study, there's the revelation of Jesus throughout the Word of God, from beginning to end. And Friday night, as we were discussing the crucifixion, I referred to Psalm 22. Now, Psalm 22 was written by King David hundreds of years before Jesus walked the earth. But in verse 16 to 18, we read, "Dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments." David wrote these words hundreds of years. He had no idea that this is how Jesus would die. But now Jesus is alive. He's risen from the dead. And Peter, at Pentecost, when they received the Holy Spirit, he went out into the street, and the one thing he proclaimed was that Jesus is alive, the resurrected Lord. That was the one message that the early church carried into the world, the known world at that time. It was the one thing that they were known for. These are the people that constantly talk about Jesus rising from the dead. My question sometimes is like, do we carry that same passion to declare that Jesus is alive, and he is alive today? Because that's what the church was known for. 1 Corinthians 15 is that great chapter on the resurrection. And it explains that over 500 people saw Jesus at one time after he rose from the grave. Verse 1 to 6. "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep." It was common knowledge. There's historical evidence. It's written in secular history. It wasn't fake news. Jesus rose from the dead. And apart from that, you know, if Jesus had remained in the tomb and he had remained dead and they somehow fictitiously put together the story that he rose from the dead, how did this band of men that were beaten, downtrodden, disillusioned, disappointed, how did they end up forming a church that affects the whole world and impacted the whole world? And still today, over 2 billion people this morning are getting up and saying, "He is alive." That would never have happened if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. The fact that we worship on the first day of the week, we believe that Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. Well, up until that time, for hundreds of years, the Jews had worshiped and gathered together on the last day of the week, on the seventh day. But for centuries, people did that, but then a change took place. And now we celebrate on Sunday, the first day of the week, because Jesus rose from the dead. All this and more points to undeniable proof that Jesus is alive and he lives forever. You know, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we have nothing to hold on to. I certainly wouldn't be standing here if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. There'd be no point. We'd live lives just in fictitious hope. But we have undeniable proof that he is alive. The bodily resurrection of Jesus determines our salvation. It is our hope of glory. Think about it. What is the crucifixion without the resurrection? You think about it, we say, yes, Jesus died on the cross for my sins, but what is the crucifixion without the resurrection? He would have just been another martyr if he didn't rise from the dead. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we know that he conquered death. He overcame death. And by placing our faith and trust in him, we have assurance that we too one day will spend eternity with him and have eternal life. Because of the resurrection, all the promises of God's word are faithful and true. We know and we can stand on these promises. You know, when we talk about the resurrection, it's not simply that Jesus rose from the dead. You know, I say lots of people, many people have been risen from the dead, have been prayed over and have come back to life. Jesus, as Nicole shared, he prayed for Lazarus, and Lazarus rose from the dead, right? But he died again. Right? Everybody who is brought back to life one day eventually dies, but not Jesus. He got a resurrected body. He got a new body that's not subject to aging or sickness or pain or suffering. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, we read, "But as Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of all who have fallen asleep." In other words, Jesus received a resurrected body. I love this part. He received a body that is supernatural. But it's not just that Jesus gets that body. We all get to get that body one day. We all get a resurrected body. He is the first fruits. In other words, he gets it first. And one day we will all follow and receive the same. Colossians 1, Paul writes about he is the firstborn among the dead. He had a physical body. He showed his disciples. Verse 39, "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as I have." He had a real body. He ate with his disciples. He walked and he talked with them. He was flesh and blood, but somehow he was different. Something was different. His new body was perfect. It was eternal. It was supernatural. And it's the one that he still has today. You realize that Jesus still has that body today. He has an eternal body, the same body that he has. He'll come again in Revelation 19. We read about the warrior coming in all of his glory, the Word of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who is faithful and true, will come again as the conquering king. That's the same body he'll come in all of his glory. You know, Easter weekend is so much more than us remembering a death and a resurrection. So much more than Christ crucified and the rising from the dead, because without the cross, we have no Savior. And without the resurrection, we have no hope. The cross is where Jesus willingly offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins. We couldn't pay the price that was needed for the atonement for our sins. We spoke about this on Friday night. Our sins are far too great an offense to an all-holy God for us to even begin to pay for our sins. People say, "Well, I'm trying to live a good enough life." God is so perfect, so holy, so pure. There is absolutely nothing we can do to atone for our own sins. We need someone to stand in the gap for us. There needed to be a perfect sacrifice. There needed to be the spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that was Jesus. That's what Jesus did for us. But when Jesus rose from the dead, it was a declaration by God the Father saying, "It is paid for." When he raised his son back to life, he said, "The price has been paid. It is sufficient. Nothing more needs to be done for our salvation." And from that moment on, there's no guilt that we have to bear. When the Father looks at his children, when he looks at those who've placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord, he sees the covering of the righteousness of Christ on us. Isn't that incredible? That when the Father looks at you and me, and we're still broken sinners, but we're saved by grace, when the Father looks at us, he sees paid. Paid in full. The price has been paid. Does that mean to say we never sin? No, absolutely not. We still sin. We're still broken people. We're still subject to temptation. But we're all fully aware that there is no perfect Christian this side of heaven, right? But when we do sin, we know we can come before our Father, and we have a promise. We have a promise of 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's the promise because of what Jesus has done. The cross is where the price was paid for our sins. The resurrection is where we obtain the power to live this Christian life. Paul writes in Philippians 3:10, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection. What does that mean? The power of His resurrection. What does that mean? Thought about that. What does it mean to know the power of His resurrection? Well, here's a few brief highlights of the power of the resurrection. Firstly, the resurrection is where Satan was defeated. Death itself was defeated because Jesus rose from the dead. We don't have to fear death. There's power in not fearing death. When people come to you and say, do you name the name of Jesus? And if not, if you don't denounce Jesus, we're going to kill you. There's a lot of power in saying, I don't care. I don't fear death. There's the power of the resurrection. We have made Jesus Christ Lord of our lives, do not fear death. And then with the resurrection, we're made right with God. As I said earlier, because of the cross, we have believed in Jesus. We who have placed our faith and trust in Jesus are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now again, we don't fully understand what that means. To know that our Heavenly Father looks on us and sees you're righteous because of the blood of Jesus. God sees us, and that label that is over us is paid in full. Isn't that glorious? And then with the resurrection, we can live victorious Christian lives. We can live in victory. Because Jesus told His disciples in verse 49 of our text that when He ascends to heaven, He's going to send the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, to empower us to live the Christian life, to be able to do what God calls us to do. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Because of the resurrection, we have the power of God in His Spirit in us to do what God calls us to do. And then with the resurrection of Jesus, we have hope in a glorious future. We have hope that we too one day will be resurrected in glorious resurrection bodies. We too will be able to spend eternity with Jesus. Jesus said in John 14, I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come back and take you to be with me. As I said at the beginning of this message, we're all going to face death one day. We will all face death one day. Death is not something we can avoid unless Jesus comes again. But for those who die having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you will receive a new body one day, a new resurrected body one day, just like the one that Jesus has. 1 John 3 verse 2 says, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. This is where my imagination runs wild. Start thinking about that resurrected body. Now, many of you are sitting here today thinking of your ailments and your pains and that knee that's aching as I'm speaking, just that discomfort. And you think, man, I'm looking forward to that resurrected body where I have no pain. But do you realize the things that Jesus could do? Like, He could just appear in one place and then suddenly appear in another place. He could teleport, right? With His resurrected body, He could just appear here and then suddenly appear there. But He could also enjoy food. He could also eat. I know Debbie's looking forward to that. There's that power in the resurrected body, but you think about all that Jesus could do and is able to do. We too one day will never know pain, never know sickness, never know discomfort, a body that never breaks down. That's the resurrected body that we are promised one day. It's not science fiction. It's reality. Again, we don't fully grasp this, but Jesus, in his word, promises it to us. Maybe some of us will die before Jesus comes again, but it doesn't mean to say we have to fear death. Because of Resurrection Sunday, we have hope and we have a certainty. We no longer fear that uncertainty of death. And those who've made that decision to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life will live with him for eternity. So where are you today? As we close, I just want to address three groups of people. Three groups of people here today. Maybe you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus and have been a follower of Jesus for a long time, but you're struggling. You're struggling with doubt. You've been praying for a miracle and nothing's happened. You've been crying out to God and you're struggling and you're beginning to wonder, does Jesus really care for me? I know all the promises of his word, but does he really care for me? The writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The NIV says, fixing your eyes on Jesus. In other words, no matter what's going on in the world around you, fix your eyes on Jesus. Unwavering, gaze on Jesus. He is the one who died for you. He is the one who died for you. And if you think that, well, what do my prayers make a difference? Do they really make a difference, me praying? Think about this, and I want you to really take this in. You're praying to the one who died for you. You're praying to the one that loved you so much, he died for you. Don't you think he's waiting to move heaven and earth on your behalf? Maybe not today, maybe tomorrow, maybe it'll be instantly, maybe it'll be a bit of time. But you're praying to the one who died for you. That's power. Remember that. But maybe you today are you're here and you've been in church all your life, and this is one of many Easter Sundays that you've gone to church, but it still doesn't seem real to you. You kind of go through the traditions of church and you kind of go through the routine and it doesn't seem real. You check all the boxes, but there's no heart reality to your relationship with Jesus Christ. You need God to bring a fresh revelation of the Lord to your life, maybe a fresh revelation of his word to make it real to you. Like I said last week, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, these are just words on a page. It doesn't speak life to us. We need God to speak life through his word to us. Verse 45 of our text this morning is the key for you. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. That applies to all of us, but every now and then, we need God to open our mind to understand the scriptures. Our human minds are not able to reason our way into salvation. Do you understand that? Our minds are not able to understand and grasp and put all the pieces together to say, yes, I know what salvation is. We need the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us and then to bring conviction to our sins, reveal the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus Christ to us. If this is you today, I invite you to come forward for prayer in a moment. Ask him to forgive you, to cleanse you, but also to give you a fresh understanding of his word. Just a fresh understanding of the revelation of his word. And maybe you're here today and you've never made the decision to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. You've never made that decision. I invite you today to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, to give your life to him, because he's the one that died for you. But better yet, he's the one that rose from the dead for you. You'll be born again. You'll no longer be afraid of death. I invite you to make Jesus Lord of your life. And this invitation is always there. Please, as we pray later in a few moments, I invite you to come forward to pray with one of our ministry team. John 11:25 says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? That's the question that Jesus asked, but he asks that today. Do you believe this? He died for you, and he rose again for our salvation. What we're talking about here is not a 5-year plan or a 6-week plan to become a better you, right? To become a better person. A lot of people think, well, if I go to church, it'll just make me a better person and I'll start becoming a more respectable member of society. I'll clean up my act and then maybe one day I'll get into heaven, right? No, this is not about that. We are all eternal beings and we all have an eternal destination, and there's only two options. There's heaven and there's hell, and the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. You know, these days on this earth are very short and fleeting. Do you realize how quickly life goes by? So I was filling in an application form online recently, and I don't know if you've had the joy of doing this, and you pull out your phone and they say, you know, put in your date of birth, and you put in your date of birth, and then it's like starts at 2024, and you scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll. It's like, well, that's a lot of scrolling to get to 1968. That's when I was born. But it seemed to go by so quickly, right? I don't feel that old, but it goes by really quickly because life is short. Life is fleeting. But the decision that we make about Jesus Christ will affect eternity. Our eternity, our eternal destination. How will you respond to the resurrected Lord today? How will you respond to what Jesus has done for you today? Come, let us respond to the Lord and pray to the one who gave his life for us. So if you're in one of those three categories, I invite you, we're going to have a ministry team up here as the worship team leads us in a closing song. I invite you just to take advantage to pray with someone today. And maybe you don't feel comfortable coming forward to pray with someone. We would love to pray with you, so don't rush away. Just stay in your seat maybe even, and someone will come and pray for you. But let us pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word is truth and your word is life. Lord, I pray that you'd give us a clear understanding of the resurrection, the power of the resurrection, and all that it means to us. Lord, I pray that we would live as eternal people, not living just for today, not just living for the comforts of the here and now, but living with eternity in mind. Lord, grant us your resurrection power today as your church. Thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate what you have done for us. And may we live to proclaim the name of Jesus, just like the early church did, and the truth of the resurrection. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.